2 weeks ago, we talked about the mission of the church, which is to make disciples. Disciples are those who follow Jesus. Last week, we talked about the necessity of each one of us setting out on this interior journey of encountering the Lord, growing closer to the Lord through our spiritual life. This allows us then to live our vocation and be disciples who participate in the mission of helping others come to know Jesus. It seems, I think it's true, few people come to discipleship without an invitation from others. Whether that invitation is implicit or explicit, typically if we are living our faith in a serious fashion, it's because we've had an encounter with somebody who's introduced us to the Lord in a deeper way. It can happen through a book, it can happen through talking to someone, or through hearing a discussion or a talk on some topic. It can happen by observing someone from a distance even, but most often I think it comes through a personal friendship. It is not uncommon that a person begins looking for meaning in their lives because of something that happens to them, some human experience. It could be a tragedy. It could be a realization of some profound truth that they become aware of. It can be a recognition that I'm powerless in front of some kind of sin or habit or moral weakness, which I'm not able to control. And this leads me on a search, looking for meaning, some way to answer the questions on my heart. We are each looking for answers in our lives, answers to our desires, our questions. How do we find this need fulfilled to be loved? Now, if we understand the mission of the church is to make disciples, we then need to share with the world the person of Jesus Christ. St. Paul today in our second reading talks about this, the importance of sharing the good news of who Jesus is. He says, "If I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been placed upon me." We see here, you know, he says, "Woe to me if I do not preach." So we might look at that and say, "Ooh, how often do I preach? I get to preach a lot, but I don't know if you do." No. But how tempting it is to change the gospel of Jesus to something else, something a little bit more manageable, something that fits more with our comfort level. We might even have such a desire that people receive the good news of the gospel that we leave out certain points, or we put certain parts of it aside, and we find ourselves picking and choosing what parts to include so as to make it more palatable to our audience, our listeners. Even though this might come from a good intention, it leads to a distortion of who Jesus is. And this is how we have Christians and many Catholics embracing beliefs that are explicitly opposed to what Jesus actually teaches and what he taught and what he calls us to live. When we look at the flock and they hear conflicting messages, it leads to division and struggle to be united. It makes the gospel of Jesus seem more like an opinion than something that's based on truth. Now, because some profess one thing and others profess another, and each of us is left to decide for ourselves what we will believe, what we will follow. Given such a situation, who will not be tempted merely to choose the gospel which already matches our lifestyle? It's very tempting, isn't it? And so we see this tragedy. Instead of people being led to conversion, they are confirmed in their errors or their sins, which are permissible by these false gospels. And so confusion reigns. Confusion reigns in the flock. The church is certainly, I think, experiencing this kind of division currently. It leaves the flock in a difficult and vulnerable place, exposed to all kinds of dangerous influences. Rather than being taught to leave behind errors, many are being led further and further into moral decisions or beliefs or stances which are explicitly or exactly opposed to God's divine law, which we are all bound to live by. How do we know the difference? How can we discern which path is right? How can we know which leaders to follow? When there are bishops and priests and theologians and intellectuals and politicians who are all saying contradictory things or seem to approve different things and oppose others and denounce each other, How do we know? What do we do? Where do we look for truth? I think there are several strategies we might employ to sort this confusion out. One is to look at history. What has been the confirmed teaching of the church? What have the lives of the saints witnessed to? If we look at the moral questions of our day, the things that we're facing today as a society, as a church, you will see that there are some ideas being put forward today that do not harmonize with the traditional teachings of the church. Christ has spoken very clearly through the church in all the major moral questions of our day. The questions of any life issue, any particular one, homosexuality, marriage, cohabitation, the list could go on and on, right? The church has a very clear answer on what is in union with Jesus and what is in conflict with Jesus' teachings. And the church has always consistently said we need to care for those who struggle with these issues. We cannot throw them away. When a woman is pregnant and alone, we need to care for her. When someone feels that their life isn't worth living anymore, we need to help them find hope. When someone is imprisoned for some crime, we need to help them find redemption. When someone is dying of AIDS, we need to offer them dignity. When a couple wants to get married after living together, we need to do our best to prepare them for the sacrament. When people have been divorced, we need to help them heal. We can certainly do better than we are, I think, but the system is overwhelmed, I think, right now because of the great confusion and the errors which people are living by these days. It has never been the practice of the church to speak the truth and then abandon those who haven't followed her teaching. We preach the truth to prevent the wounds of sin and error, which are caused by those things. And we also are called to apply the healing remedies which God provides to us as the church. Where are we helpless or frustrated? It's in those moments when people follow those paths of sin and error and then refuse to turn to the church for help when they find themselves in a world of hurt. That's the only time that we really can't do much. We keep praying for that person, of course, and trying to reach out to them. But we ask God to bring them in His own good time. So that's one area, right? To look at the tradition of the church, the traditional teachings, and look at the lives of the saints. And that's one way of kind of trying to measure what is before us. Another way to discern the right path is to pray for guidance. This is a little bit more subjective approach, admittedly. But I believe if someone truly is open to being guided by the Lord will lead them into the right path. Pray the rosary. Come to Eucharistic adoration. Sincerely ask the Lord to help you see truth about this confusion that seems to be in front of you. And I think it will become clear. Follow where the peace leads. Therein, I think, lies the challenge. So many people today are not taking time to ask the Lord for guidance. They run from one thing to the next. Their souls are always distracted. Our minds are constantly moving from one thing to the next distraction. And because of this, these souls never are able to recognize where peace lies. They remain in the confusion. The image of the sea comes to mind. If you think of the sea, or water, a lake, or the ocean or whatever, if there's sediment in the water, it's very hard to see. You can't see very far. It's all stirred up, you know, when that's the reality, we can't see very far. We have to wait for it to settle, and then we can see to the depths. Same thing with our souls. If we always are in this stirred up, lots of sediment, lots of things going on in our lives, we can't see clearly. And so we get a little confused. Where is the right thing? What do I see here? And so when we pray, that's the place where we come to ask the Lord to calm our souls. It might not be a very calming experience to pray because there's lots of things going on in terms of what we feel on the interior, but it is there that the Lord can speak to us. And we can hear the influence of the Holy Spirit rather than the influence of the world. And one of the challenges is that sometimes we don't like what we see, and so we prefer the sediment, the unclear, right? We prefer that because we don't want to see clearly, or what we see scares us, and so we that's why we run to the distraction, right? Because we don't like what we see. And so it remains hidden. You see then why the evil one is happy to let us live this distracted and busy life all the time. It keeps us from ever seeing clearly and dealing with those things which need to be addressed in our lives if we want to find peace. So one of the roles of the church is to preach the truth into the chaos of the world. Members of the church or society in general will try to silence this truth of the gospel because it is a constant reminder and it's constantly making them uncomfortable. The true preaching of the gospel of Jesus becomes this reminder that my sin or my error in a person's life, and I don't like hearing that, right? So I would prefer not to hear that. So if I've been telling myself, I'm following Jesus, I'm a good person, I do the things right, when this is not actually the case, it's upsetting for me to be confronted again and again by this truth that I'm not living the right way, or maybe there's parts of my life that are not in union with the Lord. And so individuals or groups of people will constantly try to discredit or silence or muffle the truth of the gospel. In our laws, in our rhetoric, in our news media, we'll take these moments to try to discredit the gospel. Like St. Paul, anyone who truly follows Christ and is desiring the salvation of souls and the good of their brothers and sisters around them will continue to speak. We are compelled to speak the truth. St. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers that suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths." Seems a good description of where we might find ourselves today. To a disciple, it's always a call that we should respond to speak and seek the truth, no matter what the cost. To be a true follower of Jesus is to live by his teachings. We trust that in doing so, God will help us overcome our own sins, our own struggles, and help us become witnesses to the world of who Jesus is. The world needs disciples of Jesus who are willing to preach the truth in their words, in their actions, and in their conviction to witness to others to follow Jesus in his fullness. Is that the kind of life you want to live? Is that the kind of life you are living? Consider your answer carefully. It will make all the difference.